Well, good evening. It's so good to see each one of you here tonight. I'm thankful for this opportunity to be with you. Thankful for the invitation that Kyle has extended to me and any others that might have had a hand in inviting me to be with you tonight. It's certainly good to see friends that we have known for some time. It's always good to see Mike and Nicole and others. It's good to have my good friend Tommy Sherry with me tonight from here in Lufkin. Thankful to see you. As I say, anywhere that I go, I would ask you tonight that if there be anything that I say that is not in accordance with the Word of God, that you would be my friend, that you would approach me, and that you would discuss these things with me so that we can come to a better understanding of what God's Word does in fact say. If you'll be turning in your Bibles to the Old Testament book of Jeremiah, we will read from this opening in just a moment. Jeremiah chapter 6. Jeremiah chapter 6. Be turning your Bibles there to begin. For a moment, if you will, I want you to imagine a place that is characterized by name-calling, by gossip, slander, a place that might be known for displaying various states of immodesty and profanity and distaste. What image comes to your mind when you think about these things? Are you thinking maybe about a sports bar or a nightclub of some sort? Maybe you're thinking about the workplace even. Or maybe it can be said that some of these characteristics are found within our public school systems today. Let me set a few more parameters for us. What if I were to tell you that this is a place where Christians are, even in large number? Or what about what the Proverb writer says in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse number 2, where the text says, a fool does not delight in understanding, but only wants to show off his opinions. Now, I will say this, I read from the Christian Standard Bible, so any passage that you turn to might read a little bit different than what you have. The same message is there, but just for that clarification, I read from the CSB. I think an audience such as this, we understand what the problem is there in Proverbs chapter 18, verse number 2. That is that the fool only wants to talk and not listen. And we understand that that's an issue of, it's a lack of learning, it's a lack of focus. I don't know about you, but I find it difficult, and even maybe I'd be willing to say impossible, to have a conversation with someone who only seeks to be heard and not listen. Conversations, we understand, must have some degree of reciprocity. But I do think that such a place exists. That is a place that is known for name-calling and gossip and slander and immodesty and distaste and profanity and rudeness and vulgarity and etc., etc. And unfortunately, I do believe that Christians are all around it. And perhaps even sometimes, sadly enough, involved in it. And that is a worldwide place called social media. Christians on social media, I find very interesting. And that is because there seems to be a lot of things that we just don't really think through completely. As we are living our Christian lives this side of eternity, we find ourselves online in some capacity, and we don't show the discretion that we ought to exhibit as God's people, as God's children. We don't always seek to discover what God wants from us in all areas because we just kind of seem to allow ourselves to go with the flow. The problem with that, of course, is, are we called to go with the flow? Or are we called to be transformed? We're called to crucify ourselves, to pick up our cross daily, and to follow after Christ, our Lord and Savior. And so if I had originally stated to you that this place of name-calling and gossip and slander and immodesty and distaste and profanity and rudeness and vulgarity was social media, of course we might raise our eyebrows to that and say, well, those things are wrong. And I think we would be correct in saying that. And if you'll allow me this evening to kind of summarize my entire lesson in about a five-second sentence. Now, this does not give you permission to just kind of zone out and go to sleep. But if I can summarize my lesson in about a five-second sentence, it would be this. Sin is sin behind and in front of a computer screen or a phone or a tablet or whatever else you might use to access social media. However, if it were that easy, there would be no reason to have sermons on it such as this, endless types of blog posts, internet sites, all dedicated to the idea of how a Christian should use social media. Before we get too far into our study tonight, I want to very quickly share with you some statistics as it relates to social media usage. All these statistics are found at demandsage.com. And so according to the statistics there, Facebook has 2.96 billion active monthly users, 2 billion of which show to be active daily users. There are around 8 billion people in the world today. And so what that equates to is that roughly 38% of the world's population is using Facebook alone. That's not even to mention the 450 million active monthly users of Twitter, 237 million of which are considered active daily users, or the 2.35 billion active monthly users of Instagram, 500 million of which are considered active daily users. There are an estimated 4.9 billion social media users in the world as of this year, 2023. 4.9 billion. The American population is roughly 336 million people. And as of January 4th of this year, the USA has 302.35 million social media users. That means that roughly 89 to 90% of the total U.S. population uses social media. Friends, when I look at a number like that, that number is staggering to me. That number is staggering. And so I'm curious, if you'll allow me to test my math just a little bit tonight, if you have a social media account, whether it be Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or YouTube or Snapchat or TikTok or LinkedIn, whatever it might be. I'm not saying that you use it every day. I'm not even saying that you have to like it. But if you have some form of social media, I want you to raise your hand proudly. Look around. Keep your hands up and look around. Now, I can't see everybody's hand, I don't think, but we're pretty close to, I think, that 90%, even in this very building tonight. And so I think the number, it bears out pretty good. 90% roughly of the population has social media. Now let me say this, whether you have a social media account or not, please know that social media can be a very powerful force. Not only because people are using it, but it is becoming and has become in many instances a way where news is spread very quickly. Conversations are started. Advertising is done. Social media is a large presence in our world, particularly in this country. And for better or worse, it is here to stay. And Christians of all people, we need to be aware of how to use it. Let me speak to the parents in the audience for just a moment, particularly parents of young children, maybe more specifically if you have a teen or maybe a child that's in those preteen years. We need to be teaching our kids how to use social media. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not advocating for 7-year-old Johnny to have a social media account. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying, though, is this. If your child has access to the internet, or if they have a cell phone, tablet, whatever, we as Christians need to be very diligent in instructing our children how to comport themselves in an online setting. Make no mistake, if we are not teaching them how to behave on social media, you can rest assured that the world is. And as a father of 3 kids, that scares me. I know the dangers of social media. I don't want them to see the things that I might be subjected to from time to time. As Christians, we must be diligent, friends. We must be diligent. Unfortunately, it can be quite shocking and even embarrassing how people, namely Christians, behave online. Are you there in Jeremiah chapter 6? Look at Jeremiah chapter 6, beginning there in verse number 10. And I want you to tell me if this isn't a portrait of what you see in long discussion threads, for example, on Facebook. Jeremiah chapter 6, beginning in verse number 10. Jeremiah the prophet is speaking to his audience, and he's quite appalled. And he says here, beginning in verse number 10, "Who can I speak to and give such a warning that they will listen? Look, their ears uncircumcised, so they cannot pay attention. See, the word of the Lord has become contemptible to them. They find no pleasure in it. But I am full of the Lord's wrath. I am tired of holding it back. Pour it out on the children in the street, on the gathering of young men as well. For both husband and wife will be captured, the old with the very old. Their houses will be turned over to others, their fields and wives as well. For I will stretch out my hand against the inhabitants of the land. This is the Lord's declaration. For from the least to the greatest of them, everyone is making profit dishonestly. From prophet to priest, everyone deals falsely. They have treated my people's brokenness superficially, claiming peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they acted so detestably? They weren't at all ashamed. They can no longer feel humiliation. Therefore, they will fall among the fallen. When I punish them, they will collapse, says the Lord." What was the problem with these people? Well, the problem was that they would not hear the word of the Lord. They would not heed the word of the Lord. They would not listen. It's the idea that they are unresponsive to God. And in so doing, in verse 15, what was the punctuating point of Jeremiah the prophet? He essentially says that they were too far gone because they were unashamed of what they were doing. Verse 15, it says that they can no longer feel humiliation. Maybe your version reads that they couldn't even blush. Now, we've got to understand that this was a society at this time that God's people had devolved into. It was a society that had become rampant with immorality and idolatry and greed. And as we've already read, there was this complete rejection of the word of God. And what had they replaced it with? False prophets. And what were these prophets saying? Peace, peace. When there was what? When there was no peace. What God was saying was falling upon deaf ears, or as the prophet says, uncircumcised ears. They were unwilling to listen, which again is a characteristic that we find reference there in Proverbs 18. I think it's interesting, though, when we think about how Christians act on social media, I think it's very important and imperative for us to see also how everyone else acts as well. And if you've ever spent any time looking at comment threads on anything like a YouTube video or an article or a Facebook post, what do you see lots and lots of? Now, understand this is not always the case, but when you have 200 and 300 and 400 plus comment threads, it tends to turn into expletives and name-calling and rudeness. Friends, I don't know what the phenomena is, but something about being behind a computer screen or a phone screen or a tablet screen allows people to think that they can say whatever they want or act however they want or treat others any way that they desire. And so with that, a couple questions come up. As we think about Christians and our presence on social media, we must first think about this. What are some universal standards for using social media? Well, I think the most important standard is that we need to guard our hearts. That is to say that we need to be careful with what we see. And to do that, we have to go into this with certain precautions. Look at Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, begin there in verse number 22. In Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse number 22, you have this clear idea that the eye is the lamp of the body. Read it with me, please. Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse number 22. This is what the text says. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. And so if the light within you is darkness, how deep is that darkness? Friends, we need to be careful with what we see. We are going to be a product of what we put into ourselves. And if we are gross, gossiping, slanderers on the inside, what should we expect to come out, to come forth? Of course, it will be gossip and slander and the like. And perhaps maybe the computer screen gives us the platform to act how we truly want to act anyways. Because our last strains of social constraint have been removed because we're not facing someone directly, you know, eye to eye, face to face. Friends, we need to be careful, though, with what we put before our eyes, because if we're filling ourselves with junk and filth, then all of those things will be sure to quickly follow. And so we need to be careful with what we see, but also we need to be careful with what we hear. Look over at Philippians, the fourth chapter, please. Philippians chapter 4 with me. Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 8. I love this passage. And if you take nothing else away from this lesson this evening, think about this verse. Philippians chapter 4 verse 8. Consider in your posting and in your reading, if these posts, if what you're putting into your mind from social media fits the qualifications of this verse. Philippians chapter 4 verse number 8. Paul says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any moral excellence and if there is anything praiseworthy, do what? Dwell on these things. I sometimes wonder how many times you and I have clicked send on a message or on a post online that it's even qualified as even one of these things. Whatever is true. I mean, that ought to be a minimum standard, right? That the things that we put out in a public way are true. Whatever is honorable or noble and just. Is this pure? Is this lovely? Is this commendable? And notice what the next verse reads. Verse number 9, Philippians 4 verse 9. Do what you have learned and received and heard from me and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. Paul is sending them this message, and he's saying, be like me, but even more so than that, he's saying, be like Christ. Be like Christ. Focus on the good things. Focus on the true things. Focus on the noble things. Be pure of heart and mind. And certainly if we can train our mind, if we can build a light within ourselves, that light will shine. And that certainly will be a key point as we move forward. But see, also, that certainly applies to what we say. I wonder again if we could just put a sticky note on our computers or on our phones, tablets, that says, is this just? Before you hit send, is this pure? Before I send this message off that I cannot take back, is this commendable? Is this praiseworthy? And of course, when you see what we see, and hear what we hear, and say what we say, those are universal, basic Christian truths. Do we not see, friends, that we need to guide our lights to shine? And if we're going to shine our lights, then we have to have protected them. We have to have built them up. Well, that leads us to our next area of consideration this evening, and that is, what are some danger areas then What are some danger areas that we find on social media? And I think the first one is this. Of course, this is something that I struggle with. It's the idea of wasting our time. If you look there at Ephesians chapter 5, just a few pages over in your Bible, Ephesians chapter 5, of course, you know the passage there in verse number 16, but note with me verse 15 through 17. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 through 17. In this passage, Paul is talking about the daily walk of a Christian. And he says there in Ephesians chapter 5, beginning of verse 15, he says, pay careful attention then to how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise. Verse 16, making the most of your time, because the days are evil, so don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. I think it's interesting how many of us have ever said, you know, I wish there was just more time in the day. I mean, I will be the first to admit that. I mean, am I alone in this, that we've said that I just wish there was more time in the day, or that I just wish that I had more time? I'm sure we've all have said those things from at one point in our life. Can I tell you that that time would be there if we wouldn't give it away to unnecessary things? Again, let me be clear, social media can be a good thing. It can be a very positive thing. I want to make that abundantly clear, and we'll get to some positive uses for it in a moment. But I also want to note that if we're spending all of our time on social media, or to broaden the scope, even at the ball field or in front of a television screen, and then we complain about not having enough time, what does that say about us? What does that say about us? I've heard it said that hours are in low supply and in high demand, and yet we seem to just give them away, aimlessly scrolling with no real purpose or cause. Or because we have to have, we just got to see the newest picture that someone posts. I think this is an interesting area that we have to consider. Is social media consuming my time to an excessive degree that pulls away from my devotion to the Lord? I want to spend a little more time on this next one, though. Another danger area is that social media allows for such a lack of Christian behavior that really it can be quite appalling. If you look there at Titus chapter 3, Titus is very clear about some expectations of how we should be and why. And if you notice there in Titus chapter 3, it's a great passage to consider. Beginning in verse number 1, read what Paul states here in Titus chapter 3, verse number 1 and verse number 2. He says, "Remind them to submit to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to slander no one, to avoid fighting, and to be kind, always showing gentleness to all people." And we can just stop right there. For any of you that put your hand up and said that you have some sort of social media account, and if you check it, whether on a regular basis or a semi-regular basis, when you read this passage here in Titus chapter 3, what is your impression when it comes to being subject or submissive to rulers and authorities? Do you think that's high on the list of what most of the posts are about? What about being obedient? Or being ready for every good work? How about verse number 2? Who are we to speak evil of or slander? Paul says, no one. What are we to do with fighting or quarreling? Avoid it. Verse 2 says to be kind, to be peaceable. Is this a Christian truth? Certainly it is. Is this what God expects of His people? Absolutely. And yet here we find ourselves, especially during election years, if you've not noticed. And we as a people, even Christians, have for some reason felt it not just capable but permissive to post things that are evil. Because simply there are those that we dislike who have been elected or are running for public office. Brothers and sisters, is it not the ultimate form of hypocrisy to call out the sin of others, all the while sinning yourself by slandering them? Or gossiping about them? Is that not the pinnacle of hypocrisy? Calling out sin and sinning ourselves. Friends, we must not participate in this. We must not participate in this. Now, let me be clear. This is not to say that we cannot make our opinions known. That is not to say that we don't have a responsibility or at least an opportunity to vote for a candidate, maybe, or to consider someone running for office. But again, friends, can I tell you that sin is wrong? Sin is wrong. Slander is a sin on Facebook, on Twitter, and to someone's face and behind their back. It's all the same. It's all a transgression of God's law. We have to see that. We have to think that. And friends, we have to know it. Or we will too easily top out our frustrations and hit send, and we might impact numerous people that we might not even think will see what we have said. Think about what Paul says in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, in verse number 14. He says, do all things without grumbling and arguing. But I want you to go back up to verse number 12. Philippians chapter 2, in verse number 12, for just a moment. What is Paul's admonition for them beginning here in verse number 12? Philippians 2, verse 12. Therefore, my dear friends, just as you have always obeyed, so now not only in my presence, but even more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is working in you both to will and to work according to his good purpose. And as you skip down to verse number 15, why do all these things without grumbling and arguing? Look at verse 15. So that you may be blameless and pure, children of God who are faultless in a crooked and perverted generation, among whom you shine like stars in the world, by holding firm to the word of life. Then I can boast in the day of Christ that I didn't run or labor for nothing. Friends, it's easy to complain. It's easy to grumble about things, and it's even easier to complain when no one sees it. Can we just briefly have a discussion about what the laws of God are when it comes to having a problem with your brother or sister? What are those laws? Look at Matthew chapter 18 and verse 15. Matthew 18, verse 15, what are you to do? When someone has sinned against you, what do you do? Well, you just sit and pout, right? I mean, that's what we do, right? What about posting Facebook posts anonymously? You know, you don't tag them in it. You just say, I wish people would understand this. Is this what God says? Look at Matthew 18, verse 15. What are we supposed to do? Paul says that we're supposed to do all things without grumbling or arguing. But what about when I have a problem with my brother? Matthew chapter 18, verse 15 says, if your brother sins against you, go and rebuke him in private. Facebook has over 2 billion users. Posting something in a public way online is the furthest thing from going to your brother and talking to him alone that there could possibly be in this world. If we have a problem with someone close to us or far from us, the Bible is clear. Jesus' message is for us to go to them alone. Why? Look at the end of verse 15. If he listens to you, you have won your brother. Complaining and slander and gossip are all these ways that we can get involved in this type of cesspool that the world has been pulled down by with social media. Are we to be like the world? Or are we to be different? What was Paul's message in Philippians 2? Be lights in the world. Why? Because the world is full of darkness. We're to do all things without grumbling and arguing. If we're complaining about the candidate or the elected officials, if we're complaining about a brother or sister in Christ and everyone sees that, what does that say about me as a Christian? And how does that reflect on the glory of God? Is it positive? No. I would suggest that it's shameful and it's wrong. Just because it's behind a computer screen or in a digital world does not make it any less something that we need to submit to the will of God for. And this is truly a danger area because everyone else seemingly is doing it. Well, people say that all the time, but in this case, most everyone is. Because most people aren't children of God. It's That's why it's all the more important that we protect our lights and that we shine our lights in this world, particularly in this place of darkness called social media. Frankly, we see a lack of focus. Look at Luke, the 9th chapter. If you look in Luke chapter 9 and verse number 23, you see not only the admonition to pick up your cross daily and follow after Jesus, but in verse number 24, notice the next step that Jesus states. Luke chapter 9, begin reading in verse number 24. Jesus says here, "For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life because of me will save it. For what does it benefit someone if he gains the whole world and yet loses or forfeits himself?" Again, your version might read, "loses his soul." I think Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, and especially those sites that are generated around pictures and people's life story, which is really what social media is. That is that you're putting a representation of yourself in a digital package. A lot of times, what is our fear? What is our risk associated with it? Think about the pictures that are shared. What we do if we're not careful is we start focusing on how I look and especially how others look. Of course, you know the danger that can happen from that. If you care about how you look in the sense of it being vanity and you care about how someone else looks, there might be this temptation to look over there and say, you know, I don't have that. I'm not like that. Why is my life not good enough? Why is my life not like this over here? Can we be plain about something real quick? No one, at least I don't see it, and if you do, you can tell me otherwise, but no one posts online, "I'm having a terrible day. I hate my kids. I hate my wife. This life stinks." I mean, I don't see anything like that on social media. I mean, granted, there might be occasions when I might read that someone has had a rough day, but generally speaking, is this what we see a lot of? No, we see a lot of date night pictures. You see a lot of family portrait sessions, the best that a family has to offer. And that's great and that's good. Let's share the best. Let's be the best. Friends, we were bought with a price, right? But let's remember that our focus is not a number of likes or retweets or shares or comments. Our worth is in Christ and Christ alone. Amen? We need to see that because it can be easy to try to keep up with the Joneses in a technological kind of way rather than be a Christian who's using a tool that this world allows for. It can be great. It can be great, but it can also pull apart Christians from one another. And it certainly can dampen our lights that are to shine if God is to be glorified and seen in this life. And so the question then is this: how are we going to do this? How are we going to use social media for good? We think about our mission as Christians, and that is to shine our light, to spread our light. Look at Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. I like this passage not only because it is basic and simple to understand, but the idea of shining your light has a specific purpose that is attached to it. Matthew chapter 5, look there beginning in verse number 14. Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse number 14. This is what the text says. "You are the light of the world. A city situated on a hill cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket, but rather on a lampstand, and it gives light for all who are in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." Friends, if social media is nothing else, it is an opportunity for our light to shine on a stand and to shine brightly. You know, we talked a lot about the negatives this evening, and the truth is there are a lot of ways that we can tarnish our reputation. There are a lot of ways that we can tarnish the name of God, but there are certainly a lot of positive things that we can be doing for the Lord. And I just wonder, and this is interesting how often we think about, but, you know, we ask, you know, what do people think about me? How do people consider me in the workplace? Do people consider me a Christian? You know, the interesting thing about having a social media profile is that you independently can go in and you can look and you can say, well, if I'm just taking the name off of this profile and I look at the pictures, the experiences, the information, the content shared, and the discussions that this person is involved in, is this a Christian? Now, granted, I fully realize that these things are not the end-all, be-all. But if we go back to our earlier discussion and we see how there's a lot of slander on this page and gossip and complaining against rulers and authorities and those running to be in a position of power and authority, would we say that that's a Christian's profile? Probably not. Well, what about if there's someone who's sharing the good news of the gospel? What about someone who is sharing how life is good and giving thanks to God? What about someone who shares Bible passages? What about someone who shares family values? Or someone who makes the point of emphasizing how they're going to be with their family and with their spouse or their kids or with the brethren or they're showing what a great thing God has created in His church and in the family and in the home. Our God has done great things. The question is, do we truly reflect on the glory of God? We need to see, friends, that God does great things for us. Amen? We need to know that. And if we will know it, it will come out of us. What do we read in Matthew chapter 6? If the light is good, then we're going to shine. And if the eye is good, then the light will shine. And if we give thanks to God, if we recognize that God is the creator and giver of all good things, we're going to have constantly outpouring from our mouths good things. Not slander, not gossip, not divisiveness, but good things. Pure things. And there's nothing greater than the good news of salvation, which is available to us only through Jesus the Christ. And so, one good use for social media is that it allows us to shine our lights. When we consider another possibility, though, this is an interesting one, because having a Christian social media account is not about posting Bible verses every day. It's not about posting that you've prayed or that you've gone to church. That's not all there is. And I don't think necessarily the only design, but I do think an interesting, often overlooked aspect that we can use this for is for encouraging others. Look at Romans chapter 12 with me. Romans chapter 12. Here Paul is talking to the Romans, and he's speaking to them about some of the various roles and positions. And beginning in verse number 7, look at what Paul says. Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse number 7, he says, "If service, use it in service. If teaching, in teaching. If exhorting, in exhortation. Giving with generosity. Leading with diligence. Showing mercy with cheerfulness." Drop down to verse number 10. "Love one another deeply as brothers and sisters. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lack diligence and zeal. Be fervent in the Spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in affliction. Be persistent in prayer. Share with the saints in their needs, pursuing hospitality." Do you know that Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and all these other social media platforms have made it so easy to communicate with people across the country that you could do it in a matter of seconds? It's amazing that we can call people. It's amazing that we can FaceTime and Skype people and literally see them and talk to them, and we can leave them a message instantaneously. Granted, you can do that with a text message, but you can also do that with social media. You can maybe see if someone is struggling. Maybe you can see and tell that someone's a little bit down, or maybe you're just going to proactively encourage another brother or sister in Christ, because that's what we do as a family. We may have issues as a family, and Jesus outlines ways for us to deal with that, but there's also an expectation of God's people that we will do what, verse 7? Serve and teach and exhort and give with generosity and lead with diligence and show mercy with cheerfulness. And social media is a splendid platform for us to do just that. It's an amazing innovation that God has allowed man to come up with. And in doing so, we should harness it for good. Not ride it down the same train the rest of the world does. We are different than that. Go back up to verse 1 here in Romans 12. Romans 12, verse number 1. Why are we different? Why is it better? Paul says here in Romans 12, verse 1, "Therefore, brothers and sisters, in view of the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true worship. Verse 2, do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that..." you may discern what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. We're not to be conformed to this world. We're to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We are that new creature that Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 20 that we are bought with a price. We're not like everyone else. We are to be different. We are to be better than the world. Not in the sense of pride, but we are bought with a price. Friends, act like it. We are better than the world as it pertains to holiness and purity and serving our great God. It doesn't just apply to showing up to the church building at the appointed times. And that's not even helping others out. It's taking opportunities to say, you know, I hope you're having a good day. I appreciate how you served. I appreciate how you led a prayer. I appreciate how you provided a meal for this family. Thank and encourage God's people because that's how we're going to make it through this life as a team. You've probably heard the phrase, teamwork makes the dream work. And social media is certainly a way that we can do that. One final point, and the lesson will be yours. Of course, we know this from Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20. Jesus gave the Great Commission. And what was his message to his apostles? It says there in Matthew 28, verse 19, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you to the end of the age. Social media is a tremendous platform for teaching. Now, I do want to add this caveat. I don't know how many of you have seen long comment threads with a lot of discussion and debate. And I have to be honest with you. I don't really participate in those much anymore because I just don't think that I personally have ever seen someone who's part of these 100, 200, 300 plus comment types of discussions and say, you know what, I never thought of that. I'm going to change my opinion. And maybe that's something we should consider when we think about the danger of lost time, as Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 16 warns us. When we should instead be redeeming our time and not wasting it. But there is a time and place. And there will always be a need to spread the gospel message to everyone. Yes, we need to be baptized, but we need to observe all things that Christ has commanded us. Friends, we have a great God. And we need to serve Him in every aspect of our lives, behind and beside the veil of social media. Would you pray with me, please? Our Holy Father, we are so thankful for this opportunity we have tonight to gather together as your people, to worship you, the one true and living God. We give thanks to you, O God, for all the blessings in this life that you have made available to us. And as we've considered for a few moments this evening, we are thankful for the opportunities that we have through social media platforms. But with those opportunities, Father, we understand that there are dangers that must be considered. And that our presence there, we must abide by certain standards that you would have us to live by. Help us, Father, to be diligent with our example before others, our online presence. Help us to understand, Father, that much good can come from these platforms, that we can shine our lights brightly for a lost world to see. Help us, Father, in these situations to not be overcome with temptations, to not let our guard down, but to always remember who we are as your people. Father, strengthen us. Continue to bless us in all things as you see fit. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. You've been a good audience this evening. I realize that I've gone a little bit over, but you've been a good audience. In John chapter 10, verse number 11, Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. The question I want to leave you with tonight is this. Is Jesus your shepherd tonight? Are you one of his sheep, following in life wherever he leads, including our presence on social media? And if not, why not? Begin your life as a child of God this evening. Confess Jesus as the Son of God. Make Him the Lord of your life. Repent and turn away from the sins that you have in life. Have your sins washed away in baptism, uniting yourself in the likeness of Jesus' death and His burial and His resurrection. Jesus gave His life for you and for me so that we may have life eternal in the after a while. If you are a Christian and you've not been living the way that you should, maybe you've fallen victim to the dangers of social media. As we've talked about this, and you've gotten yourself tangled up with the things that are not becoming of the name of Christ, repent. Make your life right. We can pray for you. We can pray with you. If you have need to respond to heaven's invitation, we invite you to come as we stand and sing for your encouragement.